Welcome back. Hour number four, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Sean Campbell's in for Mitch Gallo, who lost his voice after impersonating Axl Rose on the show late last week. Noel Butler will be here, full hour of Oranges at Halftime. Our thanks to Kavis Reed. I hope you were as impressed as I was for spending 20-plus minutes with us on his first official day as the new general manager of the Alouettes, having been actually appointed 10 days ago, as it was revealed by Andrew Wettenhall earlier today. Full hour of soccer talk and soccer wrap-up with Noel Butler. That, of course, the theme from Growing Pains. A lot of people watching TSN last night, a lot of people, whatever they were doing, very shocked to discover the death of Alan Thicke at the age of 69, died of a heart attack while playing hockey with his 19-year-old son. And, of course, the show was Growing Pains. And a lot of people in the hockey community are mourning today, including Mr. Miller.
Gordon Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Gary Price. Choose Wrangler's Cool Vantage Jeans to be cool and stay cool.
With us every Wednesday evening after 6, Gordon Miller. How you doing, Gordon?
Good evening, Mitch. I'm well. My daughter and I are just driving to downtown Toronto to go Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping with, yeah, how old again?
My daughter is 12.
12 years old. Okay. Are you going?
She's dying to be a guest on the show someday.
It's done. The next time you're in Montreal and we can get you in the studio, it's done. In fact, we just had a text at 11690. You know, forgive me here. I'm trying to find it. A lot of texts came in while we were talking to Kavis Reed. Hey, guys, hope you're well. Just a thought. Why don't you auction off a seat at the Friday Scrum and donate the proceeds to some charity? Enjoy your show. Great job from Tom.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
We don't mind having a 12-year-old. We deal with Tony Marinaro every Friday.
Exactly. I just thought on Alan Thicke.
Yes.
You know, mentioning him. Terrific guy. And I think the thing about Alan was he was a wonderful and diversely talented person. You know, he was an actor, obviously, but he was a musician, a producer, a director. He wrote the Wheel of Fortune theme. he told me once that the Wheel of Fortune theme might have been the most lucrative thing he ever did, including starring in a network sitcom for 8 years.
Wow.
It was an amazing story because Paul Anka wrote the Tonight Show theme, right? The Johnny
yes.
Carson Tonight Show theme?
Yeah.
And I believe that the number, I might get it wrong, but I believe the number was every time it was played live on a show, Paul Anka got $875.
That's a lot of $875.
Right. So think Carson's on, even when he wasn't working a lot, Carson's on probably 30 weeks a year, four nights a week. It's 120 times a year for 31 years.
Yeah.
But Alan was a wonderful guy. He really, my favorite story about him is in the summer of 88, Wayne Gretzky had just gotten married, and there was all the speculation about him getting traded. And so Wayne went to Los Angeles and was staying at Alan's house when Bruce McNall finalized the deal to get Gretzky. And he called Alan Thicke's house. And the young man answered the phone, and he said, can I speak to Wayne Gretzky, please? And the young person said, he was 11 at the time, said, I don't think I'm supposed to say he's here. And McNall said, you just did. Get him on the phone. And so he went and got Wayne. That was Robin Thicke.
Yeah, speaking of $875 checks.
Yeah, so Robin Thicke, who could buy us all 10 times over, was the 11-year-old. But Alan and Wayne were great friends. I emceed a bunch of dinners with Alan. He was a very, very funny, very self-deprecating guy, and it's an awful, awful loss.
Yeah. Is it true that he introduced Wayne to Janet Jones? Is that a true story?
I don't believe so. Wayne met Vicky Moss on the Alan Hamill show, if you remember Alan Hamill.
Alan Hamill, wow. He was married to Suzanne Summers.
Yes. Wayne met Vicky, or met Janet, sorry, on the set of Dance Fever.
Okay.
Now, he was a judge on Dance Fever. Well, there's people under 40 right now who are staring at their radios.
Yeah, Rod's hands up. He's well under 40. Alan Hamill.
Wow. Who's Alan Hamill? What is this?
Yeah.
Wayne met Janet as a guest judge on Dance Fever, but I believe they did have mutual friends. Like, there was a sort of mutual. Alan Thicke knew a lot of the same people.
Luckin' and off the glass out to center. Crowe with a tremendous hit, and Shaw's slow to get up. Here's Krejci, the bomb saved by Price, and Shaw is hurt. Shaw is making his gliding way to the bench, goes through the open door. You want to play physical? The Bruins ask no quarter and take none.
I didn't like the hit. I thought Shawzy was in a vulnerable position, and he got hit to the head. So for sure, I don't like the hit.
Today after practice?
No, I mean, I extended reaching for a puck and, you know, in a vulnerable position and, you know, took the blow, you know, directly off the head, face area.
And he was asked if he's got a headache as a result.
No headache at all?
I mean, you have to have a brain to have a headache, so.
Andrew Shaw, I don't know if you've seen his face, Gord, because yeah. He already was nicked up at the bridge of the nose. He had a red, you know, he was cut up there, and now he looks like he lost a fight, you know?
Yeah, so here's the thing on that one. Under the rules of the NHL, that hit by Krug and the hit last week by Taylor Hall on Philip Larson are legal.
Yes.
And so there's not a penalty.
Right.
If those plays had happened in the World Junior Championship, the Olympics, or the World Championship, those would unquestionably be five-minute majors and game misconducts, and there would be suspensions handed out. You would get probably one or two games for doing that, without question. And it just underlines, and I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong, it just underlines the difference between the way the IHF governs the game and the way the NHL does.
Well, it's interesting. Let me jump in here because Sean Campbell is hosting the Irish Embassy postgame that night, and of course I'm on with Sean until we hear from the coach. And we were talking about this, and you were surprised there was no call at all, and I said maybe the NHL eventually will have a penalty that some people have called for, is that is a penalty no matter whether it was intentional or not. You hit somebody in the head, you get penalized.
I was just impressed that the referee interpreted the rules, which, like we all saw, correctly so quickly. Like, usually the refs are like, all right, just, I'm going to put my hand up, he got hit in the head, and we'll let the league deal with it later if they're going to suspend him or not. I was impressed with the referee knowing the rule and seeing it that quickly first time.
So what's interesting about that is if you accidentally trip someone, it's still a penalty. If you accidentally high-stick someone, it's still a penalty. So does that extend to accidentally hitting someone in the head?
Well, of course it should.
In the international rule book, it does. And I think, to be honest with you guys, this is not going to be decided by general managers meetings or ownership meetings. It's going to be decided by lawyers. At some point, with the litigation going on with concussions and the need to protect players' heads, lawyers are going to step up and say, you've got to do more to protect players or they're going to sue you.
If you look at it really closely and the referees don't have that capability, certainly Department of Player Safety does, but he did hit head for sure, but he also caught the left shoulder. So on the slip by in real time, they're going to give him every benefit of the doubt, especially the fact that Andrew Shaw was bent over reaching for the puck.
I just want to get Kerry Fraser's take on it. He was on with Knuckles and Sean earlier.
Yeah.
You want to continue on that theme, the litigation?
Well, I just think that at some point it may be taken out of the hands of hockey people. And look, you don't want hitting out of the game. You don't. And I don't think you want to take the game to a place where there's no contact. But you've got to find a balance between having hard physical plays and protecting players' heads. And I don't know where that balance is right now. Some people don't like the IHF standard, but I will say this, it has taken most head contact out of that side of the game.
Could you see a 2-minute penalty rather than a 5 in a game?
I think you could, but in the case of what we saw with those two hits, the Hall hit and the Krug hit, I think if you go to the IHF standard, those are unquestionably 5 in a game. Now, do you want that? I'm not taking a side. That's the standard.
No. What I said, like for that play in particular, that's a 2-minute headshot. That's what it should be.
Okay.
That's just my view. Is it 2 minutes?
But you think that should be a penalty?
Yes.
Okay.
And then suspensions come after the fact when you get into intention.
Yeah, but that was not a predatory. I don't think that was a predatory, I'm going to get this guy and I'm going to knock his head off kind of thing. It was circumstance.
Now, Kadri on Sedin, to me, if you look back to the hit on Sedin earlier this year, that to me was more predatory, where a player straightens up before contact and is clearly trying to hit high.
And so if you're Nazem Kadri, and this even predated that hit on Sedin, if you come anywhere near the opposing goaltender, you're going to the penalty box for 2 minutes, as we saw last night.
Yes, saw that last day. What, they didn't just wave off the goal. They gave him a deuce as well. He's not going to get a call for a long, long time.
Rod, you were going to jump in?
Well, just that if they use the international standard, and I agree with you guys, it would also make it a lot easier for the referees on the ice. It would, right. It would make it clearer for them.
There's no interpretation. In the IHF standard, anytime the initial contact is to the head or you cause the player's head to strike something else, it's an automatic penalty.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, but the question is, and you heard, you know, Jack Edwards sort of bloodlusty call there. I mean, there's a lot of, and I'm not criticizing Jack here, but there's a lot of people who love hard, physical, hitting hockey. And if you see less and less of that, and there's people now who think the game's too tame, if you go the extra step, are you taking even more contact out of the game?
Well, let's finish there because I, as a hockey fan and kind of an old-school hockey fan, am right. really enjoying the play of this guy.
David Pastrnak mishandled just a bit, and he's crunched by Yemelin, just like Sergio predicted.
There you go. That's a good one.
That was Yemelin on Pastrnak, which started the whole thing, which ended up with Gallagher fighting Krug. And before that, in the 10-1 game, a lot of people, whether you feel it was right or not, Alexei Yemelin is making a statement to opposing forwards, and we are seeing so few legal body checks, whether it's open right. ice or against the boards these days, as a lot of teams are moving towards them, the skating defenseman and the puck handling defenseman. I really applaud players who are left like this because I don't know how many more we're going to see.
So, and what bothers me is the, you know, he won't fight. And of course, you know, people in Montreal and some people around the NHL know that Yemelin, you know, suffered a very serious face injury in the KHL in a fight with Alexander Svitov. He's got three plates around his eye.
Right.
So he's not going to fight, nor should he. You know, I remember Scott Stevens laying out Shane Wilnes in the playoff game when Wilnes played for Carolina. There was like 5 seconds to go in a 5-1 game, and Scott Stevens just thumped him. And there was criticism, and Stevens' comment was, the game's 60 minutes long. If you don't want to play for 60 minutes, get off the ice. You know, and I had no problem with the hits. They're legal, and that's part of the game. I'm not sure. I would put it this way. Unwritten rules aren't worth the paper they're written on. you know, like, who's interpreting them? When are they supposed to be in play? I mean, you're allowed to hit people. That was a clean. If that check had happened in the first period, it's a clean check. Well, why isn't it in the third period? I get the whole, you know, code, it's late, and you're not trying to embarrass anybody, but he plays hard out there, and that's, I got no problem with that. And I don't think he should have to fight when you hit someone. Now, I do think if you hit someone illegally, you should be suspended. And I think that part of the problem is, guys, that there's not a trust level yet with the NHL players that player safety will come down hard on illegal hits. And that's why they still want fighting to so-called regulate the game, even though it doesn't regulate the game, but they want it to.
Game is at least 60 minutes.
Yeah, at least 60. Good. Yeah, way to go.
Hey, you like that? Huh?
Yeah, I love it. You know what? Be ready to play. You know, I always hear everybody, oh, play the whistle, play right to the end of the game. And then you do, and you get everybody who voted for Hillary Clinton coming out screaming about it.
Just thought you might be amused by Chris Knuckles Nyland's take.
Always amused by Knuckles.
You were going to say something.
No, I just, I mean, obviously there would be people that would be upset by it, but I mean, as long as you're playing within the rules, play within the rules. I don't get it. I get mystified by the thinking in hockey a lot of times, and that's one of the things that mystifies me. I don't like the fact that now after a clean hit, you have to fight somebody.
Right. It's been like that. Yeah. That's
too long.
Well, where was the flashpoint for that? Who started it? Like the wave? Who started it? Let's find out and hunt them down. And
didn't the wave start at Michigan State? Or was that the high five? I think it started. There was this impression.
You're actually going to answer this?
I think the wave started at Michigan State. But anyway, I believe that this idea started with the thought that Dave Semenko rode shotgun for Wayne Gretzky and Marty McSorley rode shotgun for Wayne Gretzky all the time. First of all, Gretzky was rarely hit, but very few players were hit in those days the way they're hit now. I think it came along in the 90s when more open ice hitting became prevalent. If you watch games from the 70s and 80s, most of the hits are not square on. I mean, there's a few like Wendell Clark on Bruce Bell and Mark Messier, a collision with Wendell Clark. But for the most part, players angled each other off the puck. You didn't see the same kind of hard hitting. Then when the hard hitting came, that's when you saw more of the fighting. And you also saw, this is a great point that was made a couple of years ago. It used to be that most players would have a fight and that almost everyone who fought could play. Then you got this subset of players, Mitch, who only fought. So the idea of players who got like 200 minutes in penalties and only had like 6 points is almost entirely a recent development. Those were players who were in the game exclusively to fight, not a John Ferguson who played and fought.
Chris Nyland.
Sure. Lots of them. Bob Probert, I mean, could play and fight. But then you got these guys like Tony Twist and you know, Matt Johnson and guys like that who only fought. That was their only reason for being in the league.
So do you have any unwritten rules about Christmas shopping with a 12-year-old?
My unwritten rules for Christmas shopping with a 12-year-old are she must contribute to the process. She must spend her own money on her mother's present. As you can see, my unwritten rules also aren't worth the paper they're written on.
She's warming up in the bullpen, a studio appearance in 2017.
Blair, they're
going
to put you on the show. We're going to go in the studio and you're going to go on the show. You ready to do that? Yeah, you. Not now, when we go to Montreal.
Oh, yeah!
There we, she's in.
All right. That's a done deal. That's done a done deal, deal. Right. Yeah.
We'll see
you
at the World Junior.
Good agent. Yeah, we'll see you there.
I'll see you Monday. I'm at the World Junior Exhibition Game in Montreal on Monday.
All right. Look forward to it. And we'll talk on the air next Wednesday, every Wednesday at 6:05 with TSN's Gordon Miller.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Gordon Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Gary.